Good evening, and thank you for listening to Lakeshore Public Radio on the dial at 89.1 FM and streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. I'm Tom Lounges, your host of Midwest Beat, a program all about music and the people who make it. Tonight, we're going to focus on a young lady who has been making music for a good many years. I just actually discovered her through a friend of mine who forwarded me her latest music. The album's called A Different War. We'll be featuring it, and we're going to get to know this incredibly talented young lady. Does she rock? Is she blues? Is she R&B? Is she gospel? Well, she's kind of a little bit of everything in a blender, and you'll get to know her. I'm talking about Daniela Cotton and the Church Boys. A Different War will be featured tonight on Midwest Beat. Stay with us. We'll be getting around the horn and get playing some music after your headlines. Good evening and welcome to Midwest Beat here on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM and streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. This program is all about music and the people who make it. Well, tonight I'm going to introduce you, well, maybe you're already aware of her, but I wasn't. And we're going to play some music from this young lady who is just amazing. She's rock, she's R&B, she's a little of everything, a little jazz overtone in there, and one heck of a shredding guitar player. Well, I'm going to do what I always do and let the music do the talking. Then we're going to introduce you to her by phone. We'll get her on in just a minute. But right now, let's go to the newest album. The album is called A Different War, and this is a song called She Too. Listen to the guitar. That's one of the songs off the brand new album, A Different War, from Daniela Cotton. And we have Danelia joining us here by phone, long distance. And I just got to say, I am so impressed with this album that I went back and started listening to some of the earlier stuff. And this album is different than the rest. And it just shows that artists are constantly evolving and changing and growing. And Danelia has been doing this a number of years, even though I have just discovered her through our mutual friend, Randy. Danelia, welcome.
Thank you.
I'm blown away by the guitar that I have seen in some of the videos and what I'm hearing here on the album. How long have you been playing guitar? Let's start there with you as a guitarist, and we'll talk about songwriting and singing.
Okay, well, I'm going to say that a lot of the great guitar work is, sorry, that's my 2-year-old. The guitar, a lot of the great guitar work on the album is a lot of guys, you know, and forgive me, a lot of it was me, but there are some great guys like Ben Butler, who's extraordinary, who was basically hired by Sting and Bruce Springsteen in the same year.
Wow.
That was Matt Beck on She Too,
okay.
Who's also been hired by Sting for his Broadway thing, and who's also now a member of Matchbox 20. And there's also Jack Petrozelli, who is extraordinary, who's played with Patti Smith, and he's in Fab Four. He played with Lucas Wainwright, Joan Osborne. So there were just an array of great guitar players. And then a young kid named Emmanuel Rosillo, who's 19, who played on two of the tracks. But like on Forgive Me, it was just, I wanted a sound, and I just happened to be the one to give it. And that, you know, it was more that kind of a thing. But I would never try to take credit for some of those crazy choruses. That would be wrong.
Oh yeah.
But you yourself are
a great guitar player, though. I've watched you on stage on some of the live video stuff, and you certainly can hold your own with the boys.
I mean, I think I always say, you know, rhythm isn't always easy. Holding down the fort is not always. You know, a lot of people who are great soloists, rhythm is just, they can't do it.
Right.
So, I mean, I think we all kind of have our thing, and it's just been recently in the last year and a half, 2 years that I've had my teachers start to, you know, give me a little lead stuff, which is the first, for the first time came out on Forgive Me. So it was fun, you know, so I'm still developing that. Yeah.
All right. Let's start with this new album, the headline alone, or the headline, the title, A Different War, it certainly fits with everything going on in today's world, whether it's the COVID war we're fighting, or the problems we're having with racial tensions, or the economy. I mean, we're fighting a war on so many fronts, everybody. This is a different time, a different war. Was this song written timely for this particular era, or is this something you've been sitting on pre-COVID, pre-attention, pre-everything?
No, probably about 2 years. So to me, you know, one of the rapper friends, Mickey Fass's friends, is like, y'all, truth tellers, you know, like fortune tellers. And I was like, no, this is racism. This has kind of been what it's been. I mean, my whole life, I've kind of always been the only black person in the room.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens to be that way. The small white town I grew up in, the college I went to, and even now I'm in a mixed relationship. And so where I live in New York, quite honestly, could be more diverse. The city itself isn't as diverse as it used to be, especially in certain neighborhoods. So I don't know. For me, the idea of equality and some of the undertones of racism that kind of get swept under the rug were consistent throughout my life. I just took it because, you know, my mother was always like, turn the other cheek and know when to fight when you can make a difference. And sometimes you just walk away because you can't change a person's way of thinking. You know, she never allowed us to really try to argue with someone that really didn't want to see the other side.
Right.
And she said, you'll know, you'll have that sense. And, you know, but I also learned how to turn the other cheek. Like when I got to college and there was only 10 people in my school, and some of the black girls didn't really take to being called certain things because they weren't used to it, because they were really amongst blacks their whole life. And I just kind of was like, okay, that's nothing. Like, keep walking. Whatever, they're ignorant, you know?
Right.
So I think now having a biracial child who is also Jewish, which, you know, I am also, is a deep thing. This is right where we are right now is deep. This is an extraordinary time. Not one I've ever thought I'd see, not like this. I feel like we've taken a few steps back in the last few years.
Right.
And that's really, and I think that, you know, I just saw a special about a rise in anti-Semitism as well. I mean, it's just really been anti anybody that's different. and quite honestly, everybody is different. So that's my feeling on it. But so to me, a different war could be an LGBTQ person who's different. It's just anybody that doesn't walk straight down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they walk a little to the left, a little to the right. They're just a little different. And that's always, I just thought by now we'd be such a cross-cultural world, mixings and that kind of a thing, that we would just be just so much more accepting of one another. And it's just, I don't know, the climate right now, I don't want to get political.
Right, right. But at the same time, you almost have to in today's world. And you've walked a very thin line between so many different things, as you've just explained. It's got to be kind of difficult. I mean, not that anyone ever wants to pick a side, but I mean, you're in the midst of it all. And how do you stay? You can't be Switzerland all the time. Sometimes you just got to speak up and say what you're feeling. And how have you found that to be from either side, from whether it's the white side of your heritage, the black side of your heritage, and now with being Jewish as well, with your child? It's got to be a hard place because everyone wants you to be on their side, and there's very little middle ground. It's like we've forgotten how to be just people.
No, I think it's important to acknowledge each other's heritage, each other's ethnicity, each other's whatever qualities.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's important. But I think right now, because the political world is so intense, people aren't speaking to each other. I mean, I have never seen things like this happen, where differences in opinions and differences about even racism is causing people to, like, not speak, like, unfriend each other.
Right.
It's just not who we were. It's not. My grandmother is about to turn 100 years old and, you know, cried when Obama got, you know, nominated. But now she's like, you know, I think she's gone full circle. It's just really insane. But I think, you know, my feeling and what I'll always arm my daughter with, you know, my mom, you know, kind of really armed me well. Like, are you bleeding? And I'd be like, they call me a bad name.
Right.
You know, and she was like, Danielia, are you bleeding? No. Then keep walking. You know, you got to keep doing what you do. There will always be somebody that doesn't like you or is going to pick something, or it's just, you know, and that's when she would always say, you'll know when you've got a fight that you could win.
Right.
You know, it's like, know who you're in the foxhole with, you know?
I like that. Like, know who you're in the foxhole with. I'm going to use that. I like that.
It's like, know if you got to watch your back,
mm-hmm.
and know that or know that they got your back. And once you know that, you can fight. You know where you know what you're facing. So I just, you know, I hope that as a musician, I think we're all afraid. More people are afraid, in my opinion, right now, to be honest about things, because you get put in the political hot seat. And I'm just going to say, some people really punish people. And that was never the way. We're freaking America.
Right.
We could always say what we wanted to feel, and we just disagreed, and it was heated discussion. Now it's just like, things happen to you if you say the wrong thing, or you express, you know, true feelings that are disliked by whatever. And I dare say that's tied to politically where we are right now. And I think, you know, it's the first time I signed up to be a part of this. You know, I was like, whatever I got to do, I'll street team it, you know.
Right,
I just want to change. I want to change because I want my daughter to grow up and not be afraid of anything. I want her to just embrace who she is and walk down the street like, I am me and it's good, you know. So I think we're there to a certain degree. I think the protests and the way and then the level that they're happening has never happened. And I am with Obama on this. Certain somebody woke us up, and right. Now we understand the preciousness of democracy, and we understand the value and, you know, of our voice and the power that we have. And it's extraordinary. And I think it's not just the youth. I think it has ignited a country. And even outside of our country, I think we have people ready to stand with us as well. So I think in a way, Obama's right. Flip it and look at it in a good way. There is something extraordinary happening. And I think we're taking a look at something that we need to understand that we will always have to protect. Always.
It's so, like there's a freshness, yeah. A fresh air blowing through, yep. That we just have to learn how to move from this point forward. And the song says a lot.
Yeah.
The song says a lot. Yeah. I'm going to play that for the listeners, and we'll talk a little more about that. And then we'll talk about how you came to music. I know you came at a very young age, and you've done all styles. You're a rocker, definitely, first and foremost. But, but you've got a lot of elements of other things in there. So I want to focus a little bit about what it is, the ingredients that make you up. So we'll be back in just a moment with Danelia, and we have A Different War coming at us now. Listen to the lyrics, folks. Listen to the words.
Genuine, it feel like race is a race. Where's the finish line? I thought the revolution wouldn't be televised. It seems color still isn't getting recognized. Can you sympathize? Right or wrong, you gotta know who you're fighting for. And speak your mind every time in this silent war. We're all human, meaning we still suffer. But remember, even broken crayons still color.
You talk about. Side of town with a different point of view, where their voice is not allowed. Race is a race, who you running with? Yesterday ain't tomorrow.
Don't you believe we all deserve the same?
Denelia Cotton, A Different War. Yesterday Ain't Tomorrow. There is a new sun on the rise. There is a fresh air blowing across America and blowing across the world. I love the lyrics in that song, and we're all human. We all have pride. If we just take to heart some of the messages that we're hearing in that song and a few others that are out there right now, and just stop the rhetoric and just say, we're all people. Let's look inside. Let's not look at the outside. As a friend of mine recently told me from the group The Spaniels, the old R&B group from the 50s, he said, it ain't the packaging. It's what's inside that matters. And I think that's an important message that we need to share in this turbulent time that we're living in. And Denelia, I got to say, that song, you said it's 2 years old?
It took us, it was one of those things where we just kept recording it. And then I was like, you know what? I've never thought to put a rapper. That is was a godsend. I mean, I'm glad that you said you listened. I think some people probably don't like that I have gone and done a lot, but I don't know. I was taught by people even in college to grow and constantly challenge. And I love Bowie. He said, you know, when your feet aren't touching the ground and you're completely uncomfortable, that's when you got it.
So right.
For the first time, I was like, ooh, a rapper. And I know my team was like, really? And then it worked. So, but it took a few incarnations until we were like, we got it, you know? And I think sometimes, you know, back in the day, you took a minute sometimes. It took a minute, and then you knew you had it. So there you go.
Now, this album, probably more than, and again, I just newly discovered you when Randy got a hold of me and says, this is a gal that you got to talk to. You got to discover her music. And I went back and I looked at different videos and things, but from what I've heard, this album is extremely diverse. It's like so many sides of you are coming out. Forgive Me is very pop. And A Different War is very social, very Americana, but with the rap element and the the groove element, and then She Too is Hendrix inspired. I mean, and then you've got ballads in here. I mean, you're all over the board with this, and it's nice to see and hear that you are growing as an artist. You've been doing this at least what, 10, 12 years now, more?
Easily, yeah. I mean, I did go to school for acting, but I did one movie and jumped out. I've been on it, you know, ever since I got to New York, which was over 20 years ago. You know, started at the bitter end, and there you go. So,
now what? What made you go to music? I mean, if you were pursuing acting and you were in New York, which is the acting capital as far as theater, I'm assuming you're talking theater as opposed to film, correct?
You know, both. It was what, I mean, you know, I ended up doing a little bit of theater and one movie. And, you know, it was at a different time when me being biracial and not necessarily looking a specific one thing did not work for me.
Mm-hmm.
Where now being different is the thing. And I didn't have the love of it in the way. I always loved music, but, you know, my mom sang. And so I kind of didn't want to step on her toes, sort of, with like going for her dream. So I sort of asked for permission, and she kind of was like, you're better actress. So I went that way, and, but my heart wasn't there because I have one parent in this world. And, you know, if my mother told me to jump into the fire, I probably would. I love that woman more than my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when I finally just was like, you have to do this. It's going to be okay. She'll be okay. Then I went, and then I was like, now I'm home. So, you know, sometimes it takes a minute, you know, and I just kept, even at Bennington, I took so many classes. So that by the time I got to my senior year, I didn't really have to take any, just so I could take some more music. Like it was doubling, you know. So it's, you know, it was always there. It just took me a minute to realize that it was essential for me, essential, really.
Now, hearing you speak as you just have about your mom, I've got to think she is probably your biggest influence and inspiration. What was her style of singing when she performs?
My mom, when she came to music, and she did came to it late too.
Just like you,
she was in jazz.
Okay.
So, my mom, although growing up, had Brooks Ensemble Plus, which is my mom had six sisters, which is where I really learned how to sing. After my mom gave me the guitar when I was 12, and they'd let me sing my little, you know, three note chord songs, and you know, about the sunshine. But that's where I learned from my aunts, who all sang. Like my one aunt was on the road with Southside Johnny. My mom sang jazz, and then my brother's listening to, you know, Todd Rundgren and Yes and Foreigner. And so it's pretty deep. It was pretty, everything was coming at me. But her singing jazz was deep. I remember hearing Nancy Wilson, Guess Who I Saw Today, you know, and at the end of the song when she's like, I saw you, and I was like, oh, you know, there was some really, I love jazz, you know, and in Bennington, that's how he taught me to sing. He was a jazz trumpet player, and he's probably the most responsible for shaping the bulk of my sound today. And he had me listening to Johnny Hartman, John Coltrane, mm-hmm. that album. And I mean, Hartman, you can't, there's no better to me. He's just so underrated in my opinion, but he's so great. He's
just, right.
He really sings the melody. He's so lush and beautiful and straight. You know, my teacher, she straightened out my voice. He didn't like runs. He was like, you know, it takes more skill to move somebody and sing a line straight. And so he just really undid everything. And then he built me back up. So it was, you know, and he did it through jazz where, you know, he trained my ear for 2 years. I wasn't even allowed to sing a song. And I told him he was full of Schmidt. and I was like, I'm done with this. And then, you know, to this day, my vocal coach is like, God, you have such a great ear. But that was what he did. So, because I didn't have that when I came to him. So it was extraordinary. I was lucky to have great people in my life.
You mentioned Nancy Wilson. She's one of my favorites. And probably my favorite album by her is where she teamed up with Ramsey Lewis. What a great collaboration that was. But mentioning jazz as you have and about relearning everything you thought you knew, it's interesting because jazz, in the jazz world, the voice is viewed as an instrument. And it's interesting to hear the way you were discussing that. I hear that in your singing here. Even though this isn't jazz, you are using your voice in so many different ways and textures that it's as though you were playing an instrument, a horn of some kind or whatever. And that's something you don't hear a lot in pop music or in rock music for that matter.
My manager, my current manager is also one who's like, don't do all those things. You know, like he's more like, just sing it, man, move me kind of, you know, like just, you know, and so that's something that we're not, you know, that you're like, really? Just sing it? Yeah, just sing it. Don't do 19 runs. Don't just sing the song. And if you do one, it's because you were propelled to do it, not, you know. And so it does take a lot. And it's, you know, the one thing my teacher taught me in school, which has always made me love, like, I love Phyllis Hyman. She was all about the tone of somebody's voice. That's like Johnny Hartman, Nancy Wilson, like Carmen McRae. They all had tone that was just lush and so full of, like, that you went somewhere, you know,
right.
And that's what I strive for. I think it's like why Norah Jones came, you know, it was like, boom, what sold 17 million albums? Her tone.
Exactly.
You know, like, nobody had heard, like, it was like, da-ding, you know, you want to say to these kids today, you can do 19 runs, but this girl came out and didn't do one run and sold, you know, and is a legend to this day, like, figure it out. So I think that's the biggest misconception, and that a lot of the television shows and things, they push them to be the opposite. You know, you can't, you'll never get a Mick Jagger or even a Joe Cocker who blew me away with like one octave.
Right.
Because he just does this thing. And I think we're going to miss out on this generation, you know, giving us a Prince or a this or a that because they're either very derivative or they don't get that. And I really wish like a bunch of old timers would just ring some of them and put them in a room and teach them because I think there's some that actually have the ability to be that great if they got that and like and not be afraid to just sing it.
And something else that's missing from so much is a lot of the singers, the pop singers especially, don't realize that sometimes less is more, and that's a lesson from jazz. You don't have to be Whitney Houston all the time. You don't have to be Mariah Carey all the time. When I listen to someone like Christina Aguilera, she's such a good singer, but she always pushes that envelope. It's like, back it off, girl, a little bit. And you do that so well on some of the songs. I'd like to play Better Off Without You. That's a song that I think really kind of showcases your voice. Is there a story behind that song or would you rather do If You Don't Want Me? Both of those kind of showcase you.
Oh, I love them both. They're both about the person I love. And we've been together for a long time, but we split and officially divorced and are back together now. But, you know, Better Off Without You is just sort of like what happened in between to, you know, Better Off Without You. I had it all right in front of me and I never knew. So it's sort of like the realization, like, it wasn't, grass isn't greener. My mother told me that a long time. Just trust me, grass ain't greener on the other side. You're going to get over to the other side. And then you don't want to, you know, back. She was just like, you know, real things are work. And it's not great every day. And sometimes she used to say, they're going to chew a cookie. It's going to sound like they're eating bones. And you just want to slap them. You know, like, she was like, it happens.
But she sounds like a very wise woman. A very wise woman.
So she's like, it's, sometimes you don't like the person, but you love them and you stay in it and you fight. So, you know, right. Better Off Without You is me sort of getting it. And then If You Don't Want Me is actually an ode to him. Like, I'm so in love with you. That's kind of what it's saying. Like, you're just my everything. And if I didn't, I don't know now that I feel this, I don't know if I didn't have this, what it would be like. It's so intense. So it's sort of the opposite. It's not feeling that you need a person to define you. It's more the utter, like, immersed feeling of intense, great love. So that was that. Yeah.
So they're like two halves of the same coin, so to speak.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's.
I'm loving you.
I love the grass isn't greener analogy from your mom. So we're going to play that. We're going to dedicate this to her because I she is a very wise woman. I'm glad you listened to her. This is my guest tonight. Danelia Cotton and Better Off Without You, and it's off her new album A Different War. We'll be back with Danelia in just a minute.
You can never see a gray sky come when you look up and all you see is blue. Sadness needs no invitation. It just swallows up the whole of you. How did I let you break me? We'll be right back.
listening to Lakeshore Public Radio. This is Midwest Beat. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. This program is all about music and the people who make it. And this lady is making some great music. Danelia Cotton is her name. She's got a band and a group, and we're featuring music from her new album, A Different War. And Danelia, I've got to ask you, let's talk about your group. You mentioned a few of the guitar players and that recorded, but when we're out of the COVID era, if you will, and we get back to live performing, are the Church Boys your band, or are they just your session guys?
The Church Boys are... they can be not necessarily the same group of guys.
Okay.
I kind of feel like you kind of get into a few guys, and I just feel like when basically the guys that I pull from, they're all kind of, it's almost like church, all of them. I mean, I would say Seth Nicholson, who played on the album, bass, is just extraordinary, as is Andy Hess. John Lopez is a great young up and coming drummer, but then Aaron Comis is extraordinary and, you know, part of the Spin Doctor, just great. So to me, you know, I don't know, sometimes that changes, but there are definitely a little group that I pull from the same well. So, this is the first time I've used John Lopez, Emmanuel, and, Seth Richardson. They sort of all came via each other, and they inspired the whole name of the Church Boys because they all played in church together. and so it stuck with me. And, you know, it's, as a solo artist, you know, you try to hold on to guys, but sometimes they'll get a bigger hit than you. And I never, ever, ever will begrudge somebody a move up. You know, I lost one guy to Lady Gaga. What am I going to say? Oh, no, stay with me. We all are on our path, and you hope that you get a movement with a group of guys. And along the way, I've had some extraordinary groups. So I sort of, you know, it's sort of the E Street Band that's had people coming in and out of it, but there is a core group kind of. So, So I pull from the same well. It's not always the exact same formation, but, you know, I basically have been swimming in the same little, you know,
right.
Okay. And pulling from the same group, yeah.
How often, before all this hit and made everybody stay home, how often were you on the road? Are you a road dog? Do you spend a lot of time on the road? I ask because you mentioned your children, and you have obviously a very big love in your life. What's it like to be out on the road and doing what you love, knowing that your family's at home and you love them too?
Well, Olivia is only two, and... you know, it took me, I took a minute and reconfigured and figured out sort of what I wanted to be in my sound. I'm glad that you recognize. I mean, I was never afraid. I felt like the people that got me were going to go with me, and that it wouldn't matter how different things were. I was always the thread through it because it was me. Mm-hmm. And I'm definitely somebody who says if you're writing something, you have to go where a song wants to go. Even if it's not where you think it should go, you follow it. You follow the thread. You follow where it's taking you. So, I mean, in the beginning, when I was doing Small White Town, and in the first few years, it was intense. It was a lot. And then sort of becoming an indie artist, actually really putting out my albums myself and just doing, like, distribution, slows things down a little bit. And I think even though a lot of us want to be out there, live venues are, you know, there's not as many as there used to be.
Right.
You're up against a lot of Live Nation kind of thing. Like, the indie artist really is fighting a lot. You're fighting harder than you were to really get those gigs. And, you know, there came a time when you were up against people who could pay to play. I mean, it's really, the game has changed. The industry sort of is still morphing into, I don't even know what. I mean, labels sort of don't exist, but they kind of still do exist. And, you know, you're constantly, I have a team, but I'm up against people who have more power behind them. So, you know, I go when I go. And right now, I'm doing more than I ever did, you know, a few years ago, and we're in COVID.
Right.
So it's intense. I mean, but the beauty of the man I love is that he gets it, and I think he understands that without it, I'm not me, and I'm not happy, and I'm not good for him or her or myself. And so we just deal. I mean, he's a criminal defense attorney, and his job is intense. He does only murders. So we're both pretty intense. And, you know, we give for each other.
I was going to ask if he was in the business, but clearly he's not. But he gets it.
No. I mean, even when I hired a nanny, I was like, would you go on the road? She was like, yep. So, you know, I mean, we would just roll with it. We just roll with it. Okay. You know, when it happened, we dealt with it as a couple. And so, you know, you figure it out, you know. You mentioned
being an indie artist, and I just want to let my listeners know that you are an indie artist in every possible way. You have your own label, Cottontown Records, and you've released several releases on it. Are you the CEO of that? I mean, do you wear all the hats? Do you have to decide on the budgets? Do you have to decide on production? How involved are you? And at the same time, by being so involved with having your own label and running your own sessions, do you ever feel too close to the material that you need those outside ears? And if so, who do you go to?
Well, on this album, I personally feel you should always have outside ears. You just have to pick the right ears. Right now, I feel the manager that I have, J.W. Johnson, who I met, who was with BMI when I met him, and that's the reason I'm with BMI, is now actually, you know, managing me. And he's never afraid to say what he thinks. Even sometimes when I'm like, are you, I have to walk away for a second and take a breath. But if he's right, I'll give it to him.
Right.
And then my brother, who has been my biggest champion and who has the most diverse taste of any human being I know, and he's always ahead of the curve, like has you listening to people. And then before you know it, like a year later, they're winning all the Grammys. I don't know how he does it. He's just always got his foot in the thick of it. But he's also honest with me, and he pushes me to be true to myself. And so the kind of the tug of war between him and Jay, and they're very different in their approach and in what they feel works for me. And then I'm in the middle. And so between the three of us, it lands, especially on this album, it landed in the right place. I think it's working for right now. And so I believe that it's probably a good thing. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right, right. The thing is, you get people in your corner that you know have your best interests. And even if they don't agree with you, sometimes you need that alternate version or ultimate universe or whatever they call it. With this album, A Different War, it's only been out a short time. How has the industry, how has radio, how has the media at large embraced it? And how has your fan base embraced it, since it is a bit of a different turn for you?
I mean, to some of them, it isn't. If you go back to Small White Town, my first album, it was a bit eclectic. And that's how I made it, rocker chick. And there are some things on it that almost are Americana country kind of, and some that almost are like, I want to say pop rock, but probably. So I think it's sort of, I think to me, quite honestly, the thing about me is that my brother always says, I love you because you go A to Z. Because he always says, you know, I can't deal with an incense album where it's one long song.
Right.
You know, So I really go, but I think actually this new generation, I think given their attention span, being eclectic is going to work, because they get bored quick. And so me kind of being me, it works, you know. I think you should never make an artist be one thing. I think it's the one thing I hate about the industry. Why can't you go outside the box? I mean, that's what Bowie and some of the greats did. They just constantly challenged, and they just went, you know what, I'm going to step over the line. And I think that's when the stuff is great. It's when it's great. And so I think there is no formula. If there was, there'd be a million stars. You just kind of got to go. You got to follow your heart. You got to know, you just got to do what you got to do. you know. Yeah. So
Stevie Wonder's another one that reinvents himself. When he came out with The Secret Life of Plants, I had to scratch my head for a few minutes there and deal with that album. In the long term, you look back and say, you know, he was on top of it. He was ahead of the curve. And, you know, as great as he was, someone like James Brown pretty much did the same song over and over again. I mean, the grooves were the same. The beats were the same. And it's nice that so many artists are evolving. And I think the fact that the record labels, as they were, have crumbled. And the artists are getting more of a voice and a more freedom to do what they need to do. And I just think it's great that you have the control you have and that you're staying true to who you are with this. What's next for you? I mean, this album just came out. Obviously, you're going to be working this, and we have to see where COVID takes us. But at this point, what's on the bucket list that you want to do next?
I mean, we're going to record, another handful and add it to this and then release it on vinyl.
Ooh, great.
And then I just see in the cards a slight turn, of a sound I've kind of wanted to do that, you know, I'm hoping it's still me. To me, anything I do is me. And if you like me, then you'll know I'm just being true to myself. And that's it. I'm excited to just kind of keep going. I mean, right now I have a piano. I have a piano teacher, a guitar teacher. It's just, to me, as a musician, if you're in sports, every year you go to training, you train, you do your thing. You know, to me, I'm just trying to increase my vocabulary, and then all of a sudden I can write better because I have more chords and I have more vocab, and it's extraordinary. And sometimes, you know, just a lesson on susses, I write a song because it's extraordinary. Or, you know, augmented chord, you just boom, it's like woo, and that's it. So that's the beauty to me of taking lessons, especially with great teachers. All my great teachers have teachers. So what I want to say to the kid today is, like, it's good. Learning is good. It is good. You never know enough. You never know it all. So, I mean, I think that keeps me kind of
amen
going
to that.
I don't know what corner. Yeah.
Too many artists think they're all that in a bag of chips at some point in their career. And, and when you continue to learn and grow as an artist, I remember Rick Derringer telling me one time, he was at his peak and he was considered one of the great guitar players in rock and roll. And Rick said to me backstage, he's like, you know what? I always ask the opening act guitar player if there's something he did I like. He's like, teach me that. He goes, because no matter who you are, every guitar player I meet, I ask him to show me a trick. And he goes, then I make it my own. And he goes, I'm happy to pass one along to them if they choose. As far as the live performing, did your acting background help you as a live music performer? And do you still have aspirations to do acting, or are you doing any acting?
Well, I worked on writing a whole entire musical, and it's based on my life and the relationship that I'm in, which is pretty intense. We could not have been from more different backgrounds. It's sort of like West Side Story, but it's true.
Oh,
and
okay.
It just keeps taking turns. And I never expected to write it, but when I started taking piano lessons, I just started writing all this stuff. And then I realized that it was, you know, all my stuff is always about what I know. It's my life. And then the story started to tell itself. And then I reconnected with one of my friends from college who is a, you know, huge casting director. And then I thought, you shouldn't be casting, you should be directing, because she was brilliant. And so we sort of got together, and now it's done, and we're sort of going to, I think, try to launch it via social media and then let it grow from there, sort of have a real organic growth. But it's pretty extraordinary. And I think right now, how did we know that, you know, a biracial couple economically, like everything about the whole story is what's going on right now.
Exactly.
And so it's extraordinary, and you know, it just our relationship just took a huge turn, which I will, you know, at some point divulge, which is pretty intense. Which what we have faced as a couple, as you know, people say, I don't know, most people get one of those things in their lifetime. So I just figured, let me write it down, and it'll be great. I mean, we're older parents, so
it sounds inspiring too. It sounds inspiring too. And
well,
sometimes
my
people,
mom's all up in that.
There's that lady again. It's you know, sometimes it just takes a good story to make you kind of scratch your head and say, you know what? There's a moral here. There's a fable. There's a moral to this fable. You know, here's a biracial couple. Here's a child from that couple. Here's this, here's that. And look how wonderful and natural and organic it is, and it's working. So why can't we multiply that by different people and make that happen? Whether you're together as a couple, whether you're together as a civilization, it's the same template. It's the same business model if you just adjust it a little bit. And I think your music really was needed to be heard at this time, especially this album. And we opened up with the song "She Too," which of course was a rally cry for women, you know, that got unequal treatment. So you did a feminist type thing, and it was also against abuse. And we talked about the title track, "A Different War," and how that fits into this. You seem to have a message in everything. "Better Off Without You," about a split, about the grass being greener, and then "If You Don't Want Me," you know, coming back and realizing that maybe that grass wasn't so green. We have two more songs that we haven't gotten to, and we're only going to be able to fit one in. "Forgive Me," I think, is the single, because I know there's a video for that. Would you like to play that or "Cheap High"? Which one would be your choice?
Actually, "Cheap High" has the video.
Oh,
and but either one. I mean, I love all these songs. I mean, "Cheap High" is my relation to money, which is everybody. It's like, you know, it you go and buy something because you're upset, and you know it's a cheap high, and then you don't have any money, and then you're still feeling like Schmidt, and then you know, "Forgive Me" is just in a relationship. Any relationship that works, that you that's lasting, is because the other person, because you keep forgiving each other. That's it. And the easiest lesson there is, sorry. You know,
well, dress me up, but you can't take me out. There you go. There's a great line right there from that song. I want to be better than I am, another one that I pulled out of there that hit me. So whether you're depressed, happy, getting jiggy with it, whatever you want to be, sometimes going out and buying yourself something just to make yourself feel good is okay, but don't make it a habit, because that's just a cheap high. I think that's the moral there. So I've loved having you on the show, and I'd love to have you back when you get the other handful of songs ready and when you do vinyl. I own a couple of record stores, so I would love to carry your vinyl when you get it out there.
I know, I'm excited. And you were great, too. It's fun, let me tell you. You know how many times you get interviewed and you're like, yeah. This is fun. I was like texting my publisher, like, he's good. He's like, yeah.
I've known Randy a long time. I'm glad he turned me on to your music. Daniela Cotton is my guest, and we're going to hear a final song. Thank you so much. And don't forget, you can keep up with her online, DaneliaCotton.com. It's like DanielIACotton.com for those that want to spell it out. And there's all kinds of great stuff on here about her album. There's great press. And thank you so much, and be safe out there.
You too.
All righty. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right, listeners, thanks for tuning in to Midwest Beat on Lakeshore Public Radio. This is our final song, and, don't fall for those cheap highs.
Money was never a good friend of mine. I used it to get a cheap high. Chasing dollars and pennies and everything.